I mean, I guess one of the things I want to ask you, first of all, is the bit of the incident that happened in Chicago recently. That was a bit of an unfortunate incident, I guess.
Totally fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, what exactly happened? I mean, obviously you got robbed. I mean, like, what happened?
Well, we loaded all our stuff in, and the particular venue that we're at, they needed us. There was just no parking in downtown Chicago or whatever. So Squiddy ended up driving it, I think, about, you know, 4 or 5 blocks away, parked it in what seemed like a, you know, fairly well lit. I believe it was right out front of school too. So it was lucky in the sense that we had all our gear out of it. They got in, stole our GPS, and we have like had a day safe that contains a fairly large sum of money from our sort of takings from merch and gig money before we were able to bank it, I guess. So that really sucked. Obviously a common occurrence in Chicago. So it was kind of like, well, we probably shouldn't have left it there in the first place.
Yeah, lesson learned, I guess. But I mean, it's pretty cool that all the fans and all that sort of stepped in and helped you guys out. That was really cool that everyone did that.
Absolutely.
Even myself, so, I mean, I even chipped in a bit of money as well, because I mean, it was just, you know, you can't be sort of left stranded in a city that, you know, you have no idea what it's like, you know. It's just
Absolutely. And mate, look, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. We're, you know, at the moment we're trying to figure out how, because we've never really, you know, looked at doing any sort of, you know, outside of that, like doing a sort of possible crowdfunding, anything like that. And the response that we got, which was just, you know, if you wanted to chuck a couple of dollars our way, sort of thing, was just unbelievable. You know, we had to tell people to stop giving us money by the next day, which is just, you know, amazing.
But
in a place like Chicago, where it's a common occurrence, I mean, we rang the police and they didn't even bother coming down. They did police reports on the phone now.
I'm guessing because I've heard of, you know, Chicago's reputation. I guess they probably have that kind of stuff happen all the time, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, it's pretty cool, and I guess one of those things that I guess you'll just take with you in the future and go, wow, they, you know, that actually sort of happened. Has that happened to you before, or was that?
It never has. I mean, we've spent all up now is probably like since the start of 2014. I think we've spent 8-9 months in America, and we've definitely played in some sketchy areas, and there's never happened. So, you know, I kind of felt like it was, you know, sort of something in the back of your mind. I think it's kind of inevitable that it will happen. It sucked to lose the money. Unbelievable to get it to the generosity of people. But, good lesson learned, I suppose, in the end.
Yeah. I mean, how was the rest of the tour anyway?
Fantastic. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We were out, we started in Europe. And did 12 dates over there with a band from Carolina called Weed Eater.
Oh, yeah, I know them. Yeah.
Well, look, we fell in love with those guys. We just had the best time. And, you know, certainly, you know, we both live under the metal umbrella, but they are certainly a lot different to us. So every night, you know, it was great to have that variety, I guess, for the punters and that sort of thing. So we did 2 weeks with them, and then we did met them again on American soil. We did South by Southwest, played a couple of shows with them, and then they went and did a couple of separate shows, and then we met back together and continued to do, I think, another sort of 4 weeks or so, which was just unreal. Every day getting to hang out with those guys. They're very, very funny dudes, and all the shows were really well attended, which is fantastic. And you know, we love going back there because we just watch it grow and grow, which is unreal, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome to hear. I mean, how do you find the crowds over there compared to Australia?
A crowd from King Parrot's point of view is what you make it. from town, it can literally change from town to town, but, you know, in Australia, I guess, or in Melbourne where we're from, most people's observation in most genres of live music, local music, whatever, is that people tend to stand very quite still and observe. Mm. Well, King Parrot show, that is just isn't an option. So when we go to new towns, whether that, you know, they may not know it, but they're about to get into it, whether they like it or not, sort of thing.
I've had the pleasure of actually seeing you a few times, and I mean, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, you can just sort of sit there and sort of, you know, especially with young, he's sort of going off his head and sort of like getting the crowd to sort of get into it and all that. So that's sort
exactly.
Of
exactly. So yeah, it's like there's that element of no one's safe. If you're standing at the back, you might get look up and young screaming in your face, or dragging you up the front. So yeah, that's we like to get things moving pretty much no matter where we are.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the new album, Dead Set, which is due out next month. Now, what can you tell me about this one and maybe some of the things that you did on this one that you maybe didn't do on the first album?
Sure, yeah. Look, I mean, the whole process of creating this album has been, I would say, almost completely different from Bite Your Head Off in terms of the way we made it. But probably also something that I guess none of us have had the opportunity to do. We actually wrote, the bones or, a large chunk of the album last year in Vermont, which is just a, like, it's a state just near New York. Yeah. One of our friends, his parents, who have now become our parents pretty much, they're like family, but they were really, really kind. They let us set up all our stuff in a barn that they had on their farm, from the side of a ski mountain in this beautiful, beautiful part of the world. And basically, yeah, we were able to spend 4 weeks there and just start to write the music from, building from riffs that we'd all had, I guess, and actually putting songs together. And then after that, and this is just through the course of, through our touring and stuff, we'd made friends. We made friends with a guy who actually plays in a band called Lynch King. In the States, he has a recording studio at his house, and he was kind enough to let us go and stay there, and we were able to sort of demo up the initial ideas of the songs that we had. Mm. So that was September last year. It was. At which point, we jumped in the van and went to Housecore Horror Festival, where we met up with Phil Anselmo and played with a bunch of killer bands like Danzig and Super Drunk Ritual and all sorts of bands there. I guess at that point we certainly were getting down the road of discussing with Phil about actually getting him to produce the album and record it. So I guess at that point the rest of everyone outside of King Coat that was fairly hush hush. But we came back to Australia and then got offered the Down tour, so we were able to go back and do that and really get to know Phil and the rest of the guys and have the best fun doing that. But as soon as that finished up, so while we're on that tour, we spent time on Phil's tour bus, listening to the songs. He was really just listening to it all the time, getting a feel for what it is that we wanted to do, making notes, and we'd sit down with him individually and as a group when he had time. And he's just so into the music, he lives and breathes it. So, he's got his notepad there, just constantly sort of making notes and, but also very collaborative, So we had a lot of discussions, I guess, at that point. Once we got off that tour, we had a week off for Christmas, and we spent that in a tour bus in a car park in Austin. And another person we met was kind enough to give us their rehearsal space there. So we started to practice, I guess, those songs again. And then we got down to New Orleans just outside of New Orleans to Phil's farm and began the recording process, I guess. So we had 3 weeks there, I think. So by that stage, we were quite a ways along, And at that point, Phil, we'd sit and be in the room with us and make suggestions, but he's really collaborative, there was either, take it or leave it. This is the way I hear it, see what you think, we try it, if it didn't work, we'd stick with what we had, what came out was just something that, I think Phil really put his stamp on it, but it was also something we felt, really, strong ownership over,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously it still sounds like King Parrot, but I mean, I guess it's one of those surreal sort of things. I mean, did you ever think that you would ever be able to be recording with the one and only Phil Anselmo or Pantera? I mean...
No, yeah, that's it. I mean, everyone's... It's funny, it's funny how quickly you adjust to things, but if you then take the time and think about where you are and what you're doing, you've got to pinch yourself and go,
yeah.
I mean, even staying in house and, he's got a great house and we're all able to sort of have our own space, but you might be lying in a room and you look up and, okay, there's a gold record from, you know, Cowboys from Hell, or, you know, like, shit like that. Oh, there's their first $1 million check for, you know,
seeing all that kind of stuff and working with them, did that give you even more inspiration to sort of make this album even better than you wanted it to be? Or
I guess it's more you start to get the gravity of, you know, how much this guy has experience he has, you know. So in that sense, I mean, you build a lot of trust, especially, you know, because he's so collaborative and passionate and into it, that I think that's infectious, you know what I mean? It's not, it's not like, oh, you know, I want to do better. It's just like I feel more comfortable to you know, perform my art, you know, like, or, you know, or to create. So he really allows for that to happen, you know. And, you know, he's the loveliest dude, that, you know, funny fucker, you know. Like, and, yeah, that's it. Just really supportive and really, really into it. And he spent a lot of time with Youngie, you know, working on vocal performances and delivery, and I'd say the same about the rest of us. You know, he really would lock into each instrument as it was being done and really offer the best information and advice that he could give. Mm. But yeah, it was fucking awesome, you know. Like, and, you know, in between all that, the whole setting, I mean, he, you know, he's got rivers running through his property. He's a huge animal lover, so there are dogs, there are pigs, there are chickens, there are cats, you know, all this stuff. Like, you know, there's Edith and Shirley, the two dogs, basically, you know, sat in the recording studio the whole time we were there. Edith is my, I'm in love with Edith. She's like an albino boxer dog.
Oh, okay.
And she was literally holding my foot as I recorded my bass track. It was unbelievable.
Good inside knowledge there.
There's that whole vibe, you know, to record there and to feel comfortable, you know. It's like, it really is like home away from home for us.
Mm.
We've been back a few times before and since, and it's just, yeah, it's such a great place to go.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny because I remember the first time that I'd seen you guys perform was actually last year in Sydney when you were opening for a band called Havoc. I remember watching Youngie on stage, and he kind of reminded me of a young Phil Anselmo in a weird way. I mean, he's kind of had that sort of same kind of vibe. Do you know what I mean? It's a sort of...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure he would take that as a very good, very big compliment as well, you know? Like,
But on the other end, I kind of get a little bit of a sort of Barney Greenway from Napalm Death as well. He's kind of have that little bit of psychotic sort of thing in there as well. But
Yeah. I think there's definitely, like, I mean, you know, I'm sure every single band in the world says this, but there is something about Young's vocal delivery that lends itself to a certain amount of originality or a mix of different things. So yeah, definitely, like performance, you know, you can, you know, get, like, you know, I even hear some AC/DC in there, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That vocal range definitely goes all over the place.
Cool. Well, one of the things that I definitely have to ask you about is your absolutely hilarious videos. Now, I mean, obviously, the first time that you sort of really hit the market was when Shit on the Liver came out. That's the first time that I heard of you guys as well. But all these videos that you guys do, I mean, even the latest one, I mean, where do you get these ideas from? I mean, where are they coming from?
We're just dickheads. We're just constantly doing stupid shit. I mean, that first one, that was just like one of the most fun days ever, like all hanging out. We got there really, really early and, you know, everyone was in a great mood. But, I mean, that particularly, you know, we had a rough idea of what it is that we were going to do, but no real script or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, like, we all have the ability to talk shit. I guess Matthew, Youngie and I are definitely very good at that. So when we sat in the car, it was a sort of a matter of like, okay, let's just see what comes out. And then when Youngie actually put together the idea for the latest one we did, and he sent that around to us while we were at Phil's place, and, like, you know, I was cracked up. I thought it was hilarious. So I was like, are you actually going to send this to Phil? Are you really going to ask him to do this? And he was like, yeah, fuck it, we'll do it. Like, and he sent it to Phil's wife, Kate, who's amazing. She's just, you know, this awesome, awesome person. She's like, yeah, definitely. And send it to Phil, he'd be keen. Like, and, yeah, because, I mean, Phil just is a fucking funny dude. He's got a great sense of humour. So he read it and he was on board. So, yeah, from there it was on.
That's awesome.
And it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, because obviously, I mean, I guess it's one of those things about King Parrot is the sort of success of the band has sort of been based on the videos that you've been putting out, I guess.
Well, look, I mean, I'd say that it's actually based on a number of things, which is our incessant touring as well. But like videos, it's a whole package. I mean, videos we're really, really proud of. It's something we enjoy doing. We've got a new one coming out on Friday as well, I think.
That brings a
new star to the fore, like within the band. I think Squizzy really shines in this one. I think absolutely. Like, I mean, in this day and age, you know, videos are such a great resource. I mean, when I was younger, I didn't give a shit about watching like Rage and that sort of stuff. So I listened to CDs and stuff. I think in these days though, where everyone's sort of got a television in their hand, you know, and if they like a band, it's just so important that you've got to continue to bring content to you know, the online world, so that you know, you've constantly got contact with people around the world. The idea of us doing our videos, A, we fucking love doing it, but we also get the aspect that it's really important that we continue to do things. I mean, we've done, like, we did a soap one that has nothing to do with any of the music. It was just being weird.
I literally had just watched that one right before I called you up, actually. It was just,
really?
Yeah, because I just did a bit of a search on YouTube to see what else you've been doing, and it's like, what the hell is this? And like, clearly nothing to do with any of your music, but...
That was actually a guy from Sydney who's done a lot of stuff, like... For pay TV, Foxtel, that sort of stuff. He saw that shit all in the film clip, and he was got in contact saying, "I'd really like to explore the idea of making a little web series with you guys." So that may happen in the future, but that was sort of a little testing. But yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, like for us, it was like, yeah, sure, we'll do it if we can fit it in. We were in Sydney, they hired a room, went and did it. Like, you know, took us 2 or 3 hours. But yeah, from our point of view, it's just like, we'll do anything just as long as you've got to keep things coming out and things happening, I suppose, which is why we tour constantly and we have every intention to continue to tour constantly. So,
that's great. Yeah. And, obviously you're going to be kicking off an Australian tour very soon as well, and you're doing, I think you're doing about 3 shows here in WA as well?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Getting Bunbury and Perth, yeah.
Yeah, and have you played down in Bunbury before?
We have. We played, I think, maybe in 2013 with Viada's Murder.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I actually think we've played there since. I'm just a bit vague on it. But, yeah, I think we might have played there twice now. But looking forward to getting back. It was actually a really good reception. I clearly remember with Viada, and people were lovely. Really looked after us and that sort of thing. And Perth's fantastic. Obviously, it's the hardest place in Australia to get to. And, you know, it's expensive, but we always really enjoy getting over there. They're really supportive and obviously appreciative because they probably don't get as much as everyone else does as well.
Yeah. The kind of funny thing is that I've seen you a number of times, but I've yet to see you in Perth, which is kind of weird because I live here in Perth, but I've always seen you like in Sydney and Melbourne. So
When you just asked me about that, I was saying, just did say that he was in Perth and Sydney. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the last time I saw you guys was obviously at Soundwave, so I mean, that must have been a fun sort of thing to do as well.
That was amazing. It was just such a game. It was just really cool, like, reinforcement of how supportive our fans have become, and like it's kick ass. Like, I mean, we were on at midday, and you know, everyone's very different, but you know, you look at people who maybe like own a King Parrot, and then you look at the lineup for that day, and you say, well, okay, it's 50 billion degrees outside, and here all these people have rocked up really early. Can't really see them actually maybe liking a lot of the middle bands, like maybe that's not their scene. But you know, obviously the ones later on were gonna, you know, resonate with them. But yeah, they came so early, went fucking crazy. You know, we really appreciate that shit. It was just awesome. Every single show we played at Soundwave was amazing.
Awesome. Well, I'm really happy for your success and everything, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys over in Perth anyway. So thanks again for taking the time to chat to us today. It's been awesome.
Absolute pleasure, man. Thank you.